Broadcasting from the historic 1047 studios nestled in beautiful downtown Valley City, it's the Toast and Jam Podcast. 30 minutes of local sports, trivia, news, and special guests. Hosted by Tim Oast and Paul McDonald. Sit back, relax, and let the fun begin.
It's time now for another edition of Toast and Jam here. And again, another week without Toast. Boy, this is getting old. I can't wait to have Toast back. He's in Munich, Germany, as we speak, having lunch, because they're about 7-8 hours ahead of us. And I'd like to know what kind of a lunch he's having in Munich, Germany, but that's another story.
Probably milk toast.
Probably, exactly. I told him I want to see you in Lederhosen. He's yet to send me a picture of him in Lederhosen, so apparently the internet would blow up if he sent me a picture of Lederhosen. That's probably a smart thing. But we are joined by Corey Anderson from Valley City State University, the Executive Director of University Advancement. Just one of the small hats that he wears at the Valley City State. Corey, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
It's awesome to be here.
Well, what a time to be, number one, a Viking, but number two, a Valley City resident with all that's going on. And the main reason why I have you here, with the groundbreaking for the Thurlton Family Complex, athletic complex, broken here the other day. It's coming to fruition. I know you're going to wait until that ribbon cutting before you finally realize what's been going on. But this has been in the making for about, what, 5.5 years or something like that?
The latest version, 5.5 years. I mean, you know, I said the other day I came in 1984 here as a student athlete, and we had always heard whispers of it. And then as I worked here as a coach, it was the same type of thing, and, you know, what the needs were, and there was always a hope for this and a hope for that. And I'm going to remind people, we went 40 years on that campus without really having a new building.
Mm-hmm.
40 years. Like, the whole time that I had went there as a student and worked there, we didn't have a new building, and it wasn't until I left in 2007 that we finally got it. So
maybe that's what it took.
It was probably me, hey? But, you know, and at that whole time, we became obviously worried, because there's always whispers of, okay, yeah, we have too many colleges and universities in North Dakota. We should really start cutting out some. And, you know, why does the state supporting all of these? And so on and so on. And we were always on that list. People would put us on that list. And when you don't have anything new, then you start to worry about, well, maybe they don't believe in us. And so when the new Science Center came around in 2013, that was huge. And then you follow it up with the Center for the Arts, and you follow it up with McCarthy Hall, and now this project. And now we kind of feel like, hey, we belong. We always believed we belonged.
Right.
We always had the people requisite to belong, but we didn't always have the facilities.
Right.
And so now we're at the situation where we could do that. And now we can do real planning, because you don't have to worry about, you know, are you going to be somebody that's put on the list for cutting? You know, kind of like the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah.
They were going to be.
Them in Montreal were on their way out the door.
Yeah. And so now you don't have to worry about that. You can concentrate on real life things and do some advanced planning. And you know, you have this, and we have this going on. But we still have a big list of what's next, which is really exciting.
Right.
And it talks about growth, and, you know, life comes down to two things. Actually, one thing, I guess, the comparison. You either have a growth mindset or you have a fixed mindset.
Yeah.
And we can't afford to have a fixed one, because if you have a fixed one, you're not going to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to continually be looking about growth, and what we do for this community as a university is really important, because you pull us out, and what is there?
Yeah.
I mean, there's just, and so we have to do our part, and we are working really hard to make sure that Valley City is relevant.
And it's going to be relevant for a long time. It's already been relevant. You know, you look at the education system and our education department. It's always been relevant, putting out teachers. And now you talk about McCarthy Hall. That's going to be the new home of the School for Education. But athletes, we got a lot of athletes around the country, coaching, graduates. So they had to go through the lack of facilities. You coached them.
Yep.
You were one.
Yep.
And but now we're getting this new facility that is really going to take Valley City State Athletics to that next level.
Yeah, we're going to say this facility, it's a win for past, present, and future Vikings.
Yeah.
You know, our people that we coached. Facilities are one thing.
Mm-hmm.
That adds to it. You still have to have the people that bring the people in.
Right.
And, you know, what people don't really probably realize is the number of educators that we put out also have a influence on the next generation of people that are coming here.
Yeah.
And so despite all that, you know, those people love their experience, and then they're gonna be able to vet the next group. You know, how do we get people from out of state to come here?
Yeah.
People always wonder, why would a kid from Florida come to Valley City? Well, what they don't know is that their coach was probably one of our former players, and he's like, you know what, you're somebody that's going to be able to acclimate to the weather. You're going to be able to love the personal attention that you're going to get, and you're going to have an experience that you're not going to get anywhere else, and they can vet that for us so that we have more success on our end. So that's just part of our recruiting network and how those things work and how we get kids from different locations. It's because of a relationship.
I know that Coach Mack at the ceremony, the groundbreaking ceremony, his biggest thing was you needed a wow factor when it comes to recruiting. Yeah, his personality, his face was a wow, like, oh, wow, you look like that. But that's, hey, he's not here. It's his own fault. He can't defend himself. But no, he said you get that wow factor. And now this is a main artery coming into Valley City, coming down 8th. And going by the bubble. And now you're going to see that as you come off the interstate, you come by Petro, you're going to see that, you're going to get that wow factor.
Absolutely. It shows that we're investing in our future. And, you know, we've done little things here and there. You know, the football stadium looks great. You know, the bubble, I really like what we've done to the bubble. I mean, we've done as much as we can to all those things, which shows that we're keeping up with taking care of what we have. But we need to have something that our athletes don't have now, and that indoor training facility is the number one thing, and getting that will be a huge part of it. And then as we complete that phase and work into the secondary phase of then finishing off the new locker rooms, because a lot of people probably don't know that when a football team comes here to play against us, we don't have any place in the bubble for them to dress.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to go to Gratian Gym and then get bussed over. And they're like, wow. Hey, home field advantage, you know, it's real big. Yeah, do you know what it's like for us to go on the road because of that?
Yeah.
You should see some of the places we get stuck dressing at because of, you know, we don't treat them like that on purpose. It's just that's what we have.
Right.
And that's not cool either. Yeah. And so we want to make it as good for everybody as we can, and that's one of the reasons that, you know, when the bubble was built, we had, you know, 7 varsity sports and 100-some athletes and 6 coaches. Well, now we have, you know, twice the number of sports, three times the number of athletes,
right,
and 3 times the number of coaches. So
yeah.
We needed to make some changes.
Yeah, I think the bubble or the enrollment was around 600, 700, 800, something like that. Now it's almost 1,900.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And athletic facilities can't be supported by the state.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
So when we do anything there, it's privately funded. And, you know, and it's a big lift. I mean, it's just things are expensive. But we found a way to start with a really large price tag, right-size it, get everything that we needed to have, make a change with the type of building structure we're going with, all to come in with what our budget is that we thought we could maintain.
Well, you look at the timeline of this particular building. We talked about it before. It's been mentioned. It was about 5.5 years ago. Mary Simonson, I think, was the board director of the board at the time. And you guys, there was a process, and that's really when it started.
Correct. The foundation board had to approve that we were going to do a capital campaign, and Mary Simonson was our board president at that particular time. And so they took the leap of faith and unanimously supported the fact that we would start out on this capital campaign, and then the work needed to happen. You know, obviously everybody is familiar with our lead donor, Gary Thurlson, but mm-hmm. Gary also played it right. And he said, hey, you need to get to this point with your fundraising privately, and then maybe I'll consider what I can do for you. We were able to do that. You know, Larry Robinson was our capital campaign chair at that particular time, and he was able to get a good start with it with the consultation of Pace Financial,
yeah,
or Pace fundraising out of Fargo,
yeah,
and you know, overturned as many stones as we possibly could in markets that we were either in or not in, or you know, creating new friendships that saw the value of what we were going to be doing.
I love the quote from Larry at the ceremony. If capital campaigns were easy, everybody'd be doing them.
Yep, absolutely. And they're very difficult because they also tax your current campaigns that you're doing. You know, your annual campaigns and in our case, our planned giving campaigns. You know, they just they're gonna stretch you.
Yeah.
But we need to do it because we need to get to that next level and we need to keep advancing. That's why they call it, I guess, the advancement office. So it's right in the title.
It's right there. It's black and white. What does it say, aside from Gary Thorolson, what does it say about alum and the people that did give and what Valley City State means to them to do what they did?
I think, number one, it tells us, what makes us feel good is they trust us. They have witnessed enough things happening transformational recently. Like, we needed to grow enrollment, check. Okay, we needed to get some other building projects done, check. We needed some stability with our administration and some things that happened that way, check. So I think they trust that process. I also want to say, Paul, we're not done with this campaign. Like, this is we have a grassroots effort that's going to be coming up that we'll roll out a one-size-fits-all. I mean, we want everybody to be able to have a part of this building in some way, shape, or form, because we're going to start celebrating 100 years of Viking athletics, 100 years of being Vikings.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the turn of the century. It's a turn into a new building. We want everybody to be involved in some way, shape, or form. So you don't have to be a real estate mogul to invest in what we're doing, because you know what? Ants can build a cathedral.
Never heard that one before.
Yeah, so we just need to start stacking a bunch of little things along that line as well, and we stack gifts, and all of a sudden you end up with something that you're really, you know, proud of, and so people have to realize, just be a part of it in some way, shape, or form, and we're going to have those opportunities, and that'll be really cool. You have your name in that building.
Yes, and then that's one thing that Gary Thorolson mentioned, how proud he is that you're able to get to that point. He was able to get you over the top. His name's on the building, but he knows it's more than just a Thorolson family athletic complex. He knows that.
Yes, he does. And it's probably a little known fact with it, too. So it's the Thorolson Family Athletic Center for Sports, Health, and Innovative Performance. That's the subtitle on it. Okay. So just like we have the W.E. Osmond Building for Physical Education, and it's referred to as the bubble. This will be the Thorolson Athletic Family Athletic Center for Sports, Health, and Innovative Performance, which the acronym is SHIP. So we'll have the bubble and the ship. And when you see it go up, we inverted the frame on this particular building, so it actually looks a little bit like a ship as well. And so there's been a lot of planning going into that. And so that's not to diminish at all, because the Thorolson name will be prevalent all over on that.
Yeah.
But we also know that we don't call it the W.E. Osmond all the time. The slang of, okay, what are we gonna call this? The addition onto the bubble, or
right.
And so it'll be the bubble and the ship as we go forward.
And this building is rather unique in its construction and its makeup.
Yes. It's really standard yet unique. And when I say that is, we looked at a conventional build to start with and what the price tag would be on that, bricks and mortar, all the other types of things. We looked at air-supported structures, and the air-supported structures were not very efficient because it's like heating a haystack. And then the durability was also not very good. Recently, many of those have, you know, suffered from wind and storm, and then we would not have access to it, and that's not good. And what does that tell you about that's not a trusting thing either. So we were able to find Legacy Building Center, and it was a group that had started working on me when I was a commissioner of the North Star in the mid, you know, probably 2015-16. And we finally got to touch base because we were at a point where we needed to find something. So at Legacy Building Systems it's a pre-engineered metal building. So everything, the structure itself is metal, just like you would see with your shops or anything like that. The difference is They wrap this building inside and out with what's called PVC, so a polyvinyl methane, mm-hmm. and it's about six layers of it that goes around. And then they stuff it with R30 insulation, and you leave your impact rich at home, right? These walls go between the beams. Mm-hmm. The ceiling is the same type of structure, so they're enormously efficient. There's no air escaping. There's no water coming in. They got their start in the ag business, holding fertilizer, mm-hmm. So they're not corrosive. They don't rust. Enormously efficient, airtight. We'll be able to control the temperature in there just from use of an air handling system. And they've been awesome to work with. And they have built some really impressive structures. They just did Texas A&M indoor track and field facility. And then they're economical. That's the other part of it. You know, that building part of our campaign is $3.25 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good for 69,000 square feet. So people are going, well, how much is 69,000 square feet? Okay, so the building will be 100 yards long.
Right.
Be just like a football field. That's how big the building is, but it's going to be 230 feet wide.
Okay.
So that's, you know, like if you look at lock and field, track end, you know, track outside to track outside, it's wide. But should give you an idea of the sheer span of this particular building. And then, like we said, 73 feet high, which is nearly twice what the bubble is.
Right.
So when you come down 8th Avenue in a year, you're going to go, wow. Well, and we were just talking the other day. We wonder what the perspective it'll be like from the interstate as you're coming from the west. Like,
what is that?
Yeah. So we'll put a big picture of Paul McDonald on the roof.
No, we want people to come. Yes. We don't want them to just keep on driving. We want them to come in.
Yeah. So we're really excited about the efficiency of that building, and that it'll be something new. And Legacy, Shannon at Legacy has just been a great asset for us and has really been an advocate for what we're trying to do. And I think they also know that this is going to be a gem for people in this area to come in and take a look at.
Yeah.
They're building one in Rogers, Minnesota. We had toured two of them. There's one in Mankato, Minnesota, and there's one in New Ulm, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And we had toured both of those facilities, and we're just ultimately, we were so impressed with the product, and we just feel that it's a perfect fit.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that sometime in the future, you can't take and put a cladding on this building. So like in Mankato, where they built that one, that neighborhood requires all buildings to be similar in look, so it had to have a brick cladding around it. So they put a brick cladding all the way around the building.
Okay.
So it looks more conventional. And so that doesn't mean that that isn't something in the future that we couldn't look at doing. We think that it's going to really look impressive with our Cardinal color and all the branding that we have it, and the big We All Row as you come down. And yeah, it's going to be awesome, Paul. I can't wait.
And it's going to have about a 75-yard football field will be part of this?
Yeah, so 85 yards of turf on the inside. So actually, 75 yards and then 10 yards for the end zone. So
there we have it.
It'll be able to play indoor softball in because we'll have left field will be over 200 if we want it to be, and then 190 has got to be the minimum down the right field line or your outside line. So we'll have the opportunity to play in there like that. The other thing is the walls. You could take a pitching machine and put a baseball through it at 120 miles an hour, and it doesn't even impact that wall at all. You know, so the durability is also a huge part of it. It's going to be so unique. I just can't wait. People are going to be amazed with the things that you can do in there.
Weight room is going to be going in there eventually, too.
Yep. So we'll have a weight room. We'll have men's and women's basketball locker rooms. We will have an athletic training room. We will have a football locker room.
Okay.
And then there'll be a mezzanine that'll be 14,000 square feet as well. So that'll be 230 wide by 230 long by 60 wide. That will have our batting cages and our bullpen mounds.
Okay.
And then it'll also have what we call team rooms. So team rooms is what we consider to be non-wet rooms. There won't be showers in there, won't be restrooms in there, but there'll be a location for our track and field athletes who don't have one right now.
Mm-hmm.
Our baseball and softball teams will be able to use those facilities. And then it'll just be all turf up there. with the opportunity to probably expand to do some other things in the future that I'm excited about that I'm not going to say yet.
Right, right.
But there's some things coming, I think, that'll be really cool up there. And then it's going to be connected to the field house through the two garage doors that are on the south side. Those garage doors are going to feed into the hallways. Behind the south basket, which is now the boiler room, the boiler needs to be replaced. So we're going to put a legacy lounge in there.
Okay.
So we'll have the Hall of Fame just outside of that, and then the legacy lounge. And then there's a little, we call it a pie, that connects the two buildings. That will be the restrooms that will serve both the bubble and the new facility.
Okay.
Yep. And then tons of storage. We've got a good storage plan, too, for the new building. So if you can't tell, we're excited. We think we've nailed it. And we can't wait to get going on it. And it's going to be something the community is going to be proud of.
When is a timeline? I know this is always a tough one as far as being usage.
It is. Legacy is going to tell you it doesn't take long to build their structure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more than just the legacy structure. So you're going to see when we start with the metal going up, that's going to happen fast. And the wrapping's going to happen fast. But then we got to get the turf on the inside. Mm-hmm. You got to get all the electrical and plumbing and all the other types of things going on. We need to do fire suppression in this building, and we need to do fire suppression in the bubble. Because they're going to be connected. And so this is a code thing. You know, how did this take so long? Well, we're dealing a little bit with the fire suppression and how we handle that. And then the secondary thing is the flood wall on the south.
Right.
Right? We had to make sure that everything was kosher on that side. And to get through all of those things logistically and to make sure that we weren't going to get into any kind of, surprises.
Yeah.
We wanted to make sure that everything was good on that side. So the city has been awesome to cooperate with us on that. And for a while when they found out the height of our structure, they're like, and then the fire department said, we can get that high. But the great thing about this building, and it actually probably, in my opinion, but I'm not an expert in this field, wouldn't need the fire suppression because there's nothing inside of it that is really flammable. But it's also the type of building that if you did have a fire in there, because of the material, it would just kind of melt through. It wouldn't.
Right.
There's nothing that's going to cause it. And you should never say nothing, right?
Right, yeah.
But it's safe that way as well.
Okay.
We get all those things crossed over. And it's going to be really cool. And how it'll tie into Lock and Field and everything else is going to be awesome.
Speaking of Lock and Field, new turf coming in too.
Today.
Today.
Yeah. And those people, you talk about, no pun intended, they don't let the grass grow under their feet. They came in on Friday, shook the turf out because we're actually reusing the fill.
Okay.
Because, again, being stewards of money... It saved about $70,000 on that project to be able to reuse that, and that's awesome. So they came in and shook the turf, got the fill, recovered the fill, and then cut it, wrapped it up. It's in, bins. They were done with that Sunday night.
Okay.
And now, they took Monday off, now the truck's coming in. And they're going to start laying turf this morning. And I haven't been out there to see if they have, but I trust them.
Yeah.
Again, they don't let the grass grow under their feet.
No, I bet not.
So they're getting things done down there, and that's really exciting. And you talk about all the different projects we got going on, and all of a sudden we get saddled with, we need about $400,000 for new turf, so knock on the foundation door. But Steve Olson and Coach McCulloch, and then our partners at Dakota Bank, man, they just did an awesome job, and we were able to, in the midst of trying to raise money for the capital campaign, come up with the funding to be able to do that as well,
because
that was needed.
Yeah.
And so that'll be awesome. So we'll have new turf on the football field as well.
And I know the people kept that would come and say, what's stop and go?
Because
I think Larry Robinson said 5 years after that turf went in with the stop and go logo, that's when they got bought up, I think, by Casey's.
They did. So that was the last of the logos probably in the world. But, yeah, so it's awesome just how everything is going that way.
And McCarthy, I guess they're really close to where they're going to be able to cut the ribbon there and say that's ready to roll.
Yeah, we got a sneak peek yesterday. Our IT folks are going to work right now in there, just get everything connected on that side. But it looks awesome. They did such a good job with that one. We can all be really proud when you get in there and to see what that looks like. And, you know, a great renovation to a space that, you know, used to be College High and used to be other things like that, School of Education for a long time. And it just was needed to look differently. And I know it came with a lot of headaches also. There was a lot of headaches in this process. But PCL, who was in charge of doing it, was phenomenal. And we're coming in under budget, which is also awesome as well. And we had some private funding in that one too. You know, before we could secure the state funding, we had to raise X number of dollars privately to then open up the state chunk. And so... you know, we were able to do that too. So we're so fortunate to have the people that are friends and family and alumni of this university that believe in the things that are going on. And you know, we just, our leadership is just, it's just really good. You know, Dr. Lefebvre just is a great figure for us to have there, because he's really got a belief system and a can-do attitude. And then... you know, just the people that he has around him, I think, are also really good in terms of the support system and the decision making that has to happen that way.
When he leaves here, we'll have to call him the groundbreaking president.
Yes,
because he's seen a lot of groundbreakings in his short time as our president.
He has. We'll never probably have another president, or many places have a president. Well, I guess NDSU and UND. I mean, if he was there, that'd be three groundbreakings a year, because it seems like it's always happening there. But for us to go 40 years without a single one, and then to have three of them in a almost 2-year period, is amazing.
And but the campus is going to take a whole new look. It's going to look differently. It's vibrant. And we talked about this, and I used the headline in the Times Record. What a day to be a Viking. What a time to be, whether you are a Viking now, you were one, or maybe you plan on it in the future.
It is, and if there's one thing we need to be better at, is we can't keep it a secret.
No.
You know, we have a tendency, just with our Scandinavian heritage, to be, you know, not boastful and things like that. We got to tell our story, because it's a great one, and we can't keep it a secret. We need to be able to, you know, to get ourselves out there and to be able to share the things that we have and invite people into this community and say, hey, here's what we have going on.
Well, I appreciate you joining us, Corey. It's always great to chat with you. And folks, when are we going to see dirt move? Do we have an idea in that realm?
Soon.
Okay.
Boy, is that a good response, isn't it?
That's a great response.
soon. Still some I's to dot and T's to cross, but it's going to happen soon. And of course, with a project like this, you're talking about just different groups. You have your site prep group, you have your mechanical, your electrical, your general contractors. You know, you got to get everybody coordinated and on one page, and you know, so, but it's going to happen soon. And then as far as, we get asked on an opening a lot, the one thing about this that we have going for us is next winter, we probably don't have to worry about pushing for an opening on that side, just being realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And then the summertime is probably not when that facility is going to get used anyway, so we can go, hey, when we open up school in the fall of 29, it'll be just ready to roll. And so that's kind of, you know, we were hoping that it would have been by Christmas time. if everything would have worked out, but logistically, just with fire suppression and all the other types of stuff, it just wasn't going to be something that we could speed up to that point.
Right.
So we're still going to be fine. We waited 40 years.
We can wait a little
longer.
What's
4 months?
Right.
So, and then maybe by then I'll be able to bring more energy to the interview. You know, when I opened up my phone this morning and it does facial recognition, I must look tough because it didn't
recognize
that it was me.
It didn't recognize it. Last question for you, Corey, is the Frontier Conference. Of course, we're going to be joining the Frontier Conference. Have you gotten response? I know their commissioner was here this winter. Just the response you're getting from people from the Frontier Conference.
Well, it's got to be positive, you know, because I think this will be a unique structure just in that conference alone. And it's, people don't know, the Frontier Conference is really, really good. Like, it's one of the best conferences in the NAI. And so it's a great opportunity for us. When I worked as a commissioner, I always wanted to make sure, you know, you're only as good as your bottom teams in your conference.
Right.
And our bottom teams weren't always very good in the North Star. We had to raise their profile. And so going into this, it is a really strong conference. And the great thing about it is that iron sharpens iron. I mean, for years, Carroll College walked away with football, for instance, in that conference. And then everybody else decided, we got to get our crap together. And they did. And now Carroll is kind of very, you know, middle of the pack because everybody's raised their profile. And I think that's going to require, you know, just a little bit of a change for us. When you're posed with something greater than you, you have to raise your level to that degree.
Right.
And we're going to have to raise our level. And it takes a very special person to be able to raise it without, you know, the prompting or the opponent that is so much greater.
Sure. Right.
Right. And so we're going to have to raise our level just to get to that point and confident that we can do it. And it starts with things like this.
All right, Corey, again, thanks for joining us. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It. That is Corey Anderson, again, the Executive Director for University Advancement at Valley City State University. And that's going to wrap up this edition of Toast and Jam. And I guarantee Toast will be back with us again next week. And again, look for us on Spotify, on Apple Podcast. And again, if you do look for us at those two locales, do subscribe to those pages. And again, you'll be alerted of new episodes each and every week. That is it for this week's edition of Toast and Jam. Have a good one.